This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
That's quite good. I normally have to shout two or three times. My name is John Williams. I'm a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers here in the UK, and I work within our sustainability and climate change team, focusing particularly on innovative finance and risks within the finance sector. I guess that's what gives me some credibility to stand here and chair the event. That said, I'm going to say very little, but try and keep the session on time so that I don't disrupt the day from the get-go. We're joined by a very distinguished panel this morning. By video, James Cameron. James is Vice Chairman of Climate Change Capital. He has a distinguished career in climate change, starting as a lawyer. He's acted on behalf of the Association of Small Island States in the UN negotiations. He's also a member of Oxfam's board and the World Economic Forum Global Agenda Council on Climate Change. Secondly, and to my immediate right, David Rintoul, Deputy Chairman of the Forbury Investment Network. He's also a director of Forbury Environmental Limited and Deputy Managing Partner of Clarks Legal. Forbury was set up by Clarks Legal as a subsidiary environmental business, facilitating investment in early stage and growth stage companies in technology sectors. David's also director of Forbury Environmental Limited, consultancy providing services to sustainable infrastructure, improved environmental performance. Secondly, next to where I'll be sitting, David Moss is founder of the David Moss Partnership, based down in Stellenbosch in South Africa, established in 1983 with 45 people. Dennis Moss Partnership specialises in architecture, urban, regional, environmental planning and landscape architecture. Dennis has played a leading role with UNESCO implementing the Man and Biosphere programme in southern, central and North Africa, and his office has also assisted UNESCO and the Angola government with planning of transwater biosphere reserves between Angola, Namibia and the Congo. So two very distinguished guests. Also due to join us but stuck on a train between Peterborough and London is Marcus Rest. He is the leader of Peterborough City Council and a chairman of Green Energy Parks Limited, Peterborough Renewable Energy Limited, and holds a number of non-executive directorships, including Opportunity Peterborough. So if he arrives 10, 15 minutes late and sneaks onto the stage, forgive him, it's not his fault. Clearly need to upgrade the line between Peterborough and London. I'd also like to give a warm welcome to our viewers on the web. This session is being cast live, so welcome to everybody who's not here today but has taken a low-carbon approach to joining this conference. Well done. Just a few opening remarks from me before we get into the real experts. I guess I'll start with a question. If this planet was a company, do you think we would really run it to bankruptcy? Will we actually deplete its resources, its assets, until they became nil value? Or might we invest to avoid its depreciation? I think if we remain on the trajectory we're on, then we have the perfect storm brewing between exponential resource use, not just the growth of population we all know about, but as populations become richer and want to consume more as we're able to here in the West. But secondly, against that, climate change, water loss, biodiversity loss, all causing a reduction in the very resources we're reliant on. And so that bankruptcy may come a lot sooner than we're expecting. So something needs to change, and it needs to change on a revolutionary scale. On a scale probably never seen before, and will require innovation, smart people, connected thinking, and new, highly disruptive technologies rolled out on scale. And it's going to require finance and huge amounts of it. A low-carbon world will be a capital-intensive one. The investments we make in renewable energy, in energy efficiency, in water efficiency, will require huge amounts of money up front, but will give us economic, environmental, and social savings for the future. And you might have just noticed the world today doesn't have a great deal of money. Hardly a week goes by without another government requiring financial assistance. And that's really where the private sector comes in. Because if the public sector doesn't have the fiscal flexibility to finance what is required, for example, to fix climate change, $1 trillion a year every year for the next 30 years, then it needs to work with the private sector. And it can actually do this extremely well by forming partnerships you've never seen before, leveraging the role of the government in terms of best practice, setting enabling regulations, the right tax and subsidy regimes, and letting the private sector do what it does well, innovate, create delivery vehicles, and put finance behind them so that the technologies can be delivered. So the role of the private finance sector is key. And those that can direct the innovation of the city and Wall Street towards solving arguably our most difficult of crises, that of natural capital rather than financial capital, will be the winners. And they'll create social utility, and they'll rebuild their reputations and trust in the new economy. What I'd now like to do is switch to a video from James Cameron. James apologises that he can't be here today, but he did want to contribute, and therefore he's doing so by video. The video, thank you.